You might have noticed something about July's services this year. A theme has emerged. It was by accident, not by design. Pride and protest, dissent and empathy, conflict and resistance. Now, how did that happen? Well, perhaps these themes have been on our mind, my mind, and unconsciously, they made their way here. We endeavour to be a number of things here in this church: prophetic, pastoral, challenging, but also wise, honest, free, and responsible. A group of us are working on a text which describes this place, and it'll be put in the About Us section of the website. The Dublin Unitarian Community value open-minded inquiry and inclusive fellowship, while cultivating an active commitment to social justice and free spiritual exploration. We take seriously the need to challenge our members with the problems of our time and address them with hope, inspiration, and love. Now, that's just a sample of what we might say. And part of my commitment is not to shy away from or avoid speaking about difficult issues. And conflict is one of those issues. All the world religions have guidance. All humanitarian organizations have guidance. The human heart also provides guidance. The suggestion that there is good, first and foremost, inherent in the human heart and soul, is a foundational belief in traditional Unitarian theology. Christianity and Judaism agree that broken or damaged relationships is a cause of conflict. Buddhism and Hinduism suggest that ignorance and attachment bring conflict. Sikhism would suggest that injustice, a misplaced notion of one's great importance, the ego, is what leads to conflict. And how do you handle a situation where what you want is not what I want? We can be assertive, aggressive, or passive aggressive. Instead of calm and measured dialogue, we may engage in a series of microaggressions. Being rude and unfriendly, letting the other person know in no small way that I am unhappy. Conflict is perhaps a sign that people care. It's a prompt to attend to the problem and engage with the parties involved. An acknowledgement that we are just as complicated as the other. I am just as complicated as you. And often it's the system we have in place that's to blame. We enable challenging behavior when we don't have a way to deal with it. Unitarians are just as able to say terrible things about each other as any other church community. Because we come to our community having already learned how to relate and interact, and that is learned within a family system. We've all learned patterns of behavior, and those are often replicated in work or in church or in any other organization or group we are engaged with. I heard a very useful phrase this week: engage in curious communication when you encounter disagreement or conflict. For example, if there is a proposal to support a particular cause or position on an issue, and there's a clear number for and a clear number against, A and B. Imagine two mountain peaks side by side. Beneath those strongly held views lies, for both groups and for both people, there are underlying concerns that inform that opinion. Each need to hear those views. But below that again, we have each group's or person's needs. And they are all very, very similar. And understanding those needs tells you what a person cares about. We all seek and need love, acceptance, respect, security. So be curious rather than dismissive about those views. When they are heard and taken seriously, we will be better able to work together to resolve whatever the conflict or disagreement is. Between us, we can identify what really matters. So we agree to move away from those two binary positions, to win-lose thinking. We move beyond positions and bottom lines. What matters most? Well, all of us need to be heard. We all need to be loved. We all need to be respected and understood. The goal here is to think about why a particular stance is being adopted. Our differences, hurts, feelings, and issues can be expressed and explored from diverse viewpoints in a responsive rather than reactive way. One thing is sure, we all approach and deal with disagreements differently. Some respond gently, others react angrily. Then again, some of us can't understand why there is such passion, anger, and reaction. Some of us can't understand why I am meeting someone who is so gentle and mild. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives us some guidance on how to handle conflict. And this generally appears in many grievance policies in work. When you have a grievance with someone, as a first step, seek them out privately to address the problem. The objective here is to be heard and listened to understand each other. If that doesn't achieve some resolution, widen the circle so others can help. Not to take sides, but to improve communication. Each party must listen, because listening is a core value. Our goal should be to restore broken relationships and to keep working at this even when it is difficult. This passage in Matthew ends with, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." There is something sacred about resolving conflict. Direct dialogue is difficult and will involve critical self-reflection, courage, and a willingness to be vulnerable. This is a challenging path. I may have a sense of self-righteousness. I am right. I have been sinned against. In Matthew's Gospel, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. But as I said, each one of us handles this differently. We have deeply ingrained styles or approaches to conflict. I might flee from conflict, others rush toward it. And like so much of our human nature, it is a spectrum. Because conflict arises when there are different views, where there is anxiety, or where there are unhelpful words or behaviors from others. But when we stay connected with those with whom we disagree with or even dislike, we can achieve some level of harmony. We seek to be resilient, which is the capacity to stay on course in the face of opposition or even disappointment. And with a healthy dose of humility, the willingness to recognize my limitations, I know that I can make mistakes, but I need others. And I need you to know that too. I learned the art of patience in my work with targeted and vulnerable young people. I learned to remain calm in the face of other people's anxiety, their challenging behavior, and most unhelpful words. I really had no choice. And whether or not I found courage, a willingness to rock the boat at the right time and disrupt the status quo, especially when faced with injustice, wrongdoing, or the need for change, I'm not sure. Because I often struggle with understanding what I am appropriately responsible for and what I am not. A bit more about becoming curious in the face of conflict. We would often judge ourselves by intentions. My intentions are good. In turn, we judge others by impact. The impact of their words and actions upon me hurt. Curiosity about the other. I wonder why that matters so much to them. Asking this question can be a great gift to communication in times of tension or conflict. There are things I know that they don't. There are things they know that I don't. And we make time and room to know these things. And we will find we have a lot in common. I invite you to consider a community or group or even family that you are part of. I'm thinking of this church community. So if you can, picture a beautiful tree with broad, full leaves. It's midsummer, so it's easy to imagine and see. The leaves represent all that is visible to the world, what we can see and hear. The trunk and branches represent the structure and the processes, how we organize and make decisions. And the roots are what we might call the hidden culture, why we do what we do, our values, our long-standing stories from the past, our shared fears, our shared hopes, some theological assumptions and identity statements, maybe unspoken rules about us, what is acceptable and what is not. And changing a church's culture, or any other culture for that matter, especially around things like conflict, power, or communication, requires attention to both what is visible and what lies beneath. It is slow, deliberate work that involves shaping not just what people do, but the underlying values, assumptions, beliefs, and worldviews that lie beneath. This next idea might seem counterintuitive, and it's this. We can be bound together by conflict. Conflict is inevitable. It is the way of progress and of growth. We say here that we are free in our thinking and in our beliefs. We don't have a creed, so we are not threatened by the multiple views and ideas that are held among us. We hope that this leads to us growing in wisdom. The search, rather than the possession of truth, is our sacrament. And this forms many of our values. But it is when we are split right down the middle, when presented with either you are for or against, one single binary choice that leads to conflict, but also to war. And with our healthy culture tree, especially when we are bound by shared values, we will be well on the way of experiencing the beloved community that has at its core the inherent dignity of each and every member. I and thou was Martin Buber's contribution to how we think about human relationships. You are a thou, not an it. For an it is bound by another. Thou has no bounds. Human relations are always at risk of being an I-it transaction. You are useful to me only by what you can give me. Rather, Buber's philosophy asserts that human beings fundamentally need to be confirmed by one another. When we limit ourselves to the I-it mode, we become alienated and unfulfilled. But true connection, personal growth, and spiritual meaning are only unlocked when we step outside of ourselves to truly see, listen to, and engage with another person as thou. Buber extends the I-thou concept to the divine. He suggests that the eternal thou is found in the relational space between beings. And every genuine I-thou relationship is indirectly an encounter with God, or the ultimate, or the creator of all that is. We do need people to do things for us, but in turn, we seek to give our very best selves to our brothers and sisters, especially when we don't see eye to eye. Conflict is a sign that people care. It is a sign of issues or relationships which require our attention and engagement. But it can also hurt and destroy our most treasured relationships. May we always seek to handle our conflicts thoughtfully and courageously. Amen.